Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
I thank and praise God for this borewell that God has enabled us to put in this village with the prayer and support of Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Radio Ministry. And by the prayer and support of the Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry, we could put the borewell in this village for the community. Before, this community was drinking dirty water, and that was really causing a lot of sickness. But now they are getting pure and fresh water, and all the community is so thankful for Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry and all the supporters. And we pray for all of you that God would bless you and God would use you so that we can put more and more borewells in a poor and a needy community, those who are really having a problem of the water. And this is this borewell we have put, and pure and fresh water is coming, and we are so thankful for all of you. Especially we thank to Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry that help us and supported us to put the borewell. Thank you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice on where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for listening and watching right here at Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. Big program lined up for you today. Bottom of hour number two, I will have Zuni Duarte, who is Enrique Tarrio's mom, will be with us, founder of the Proud Boys. And as you know, we have been taking a hard stand to support the J6ers and the American Gulag and what's going on. It's unconstitutional. It is evidence of the tyranny that we're seeing take place against our country right now. And as I say regularly, I'm not anti-government. I'm just for we the people and a biblical constitutional republic. And that's what we're supposed to be living under. And that's going to really be a lot of the focus of our program this morning. Top of hour number two, Mayor David Rubin will be with us. We'll get another live update from Israel. And I'm hoping to have Dr. David Wormser back with us. As you know, we've been doing a lot of coverage with Dr. Wormser live from both Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, including him having to run down to the bomb shelters during the program. But we're giving you up-to-the-date information as to what's really going on over there. Bishop Leon Benjamin will be with us today, U.S. House of Representatives, Virginia 4th District candidate, and joining me right now, and I'm very, very pleased to welcome to the program. He is launching, or has already launched, the Black Robe Regiment, and we'll talk about what is the Black Robe Regiment, and why for such a time as this. So let me welcome Reverend Bill Cook. Bill, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you, Greg. It's a pleasure to be with you. It's an honor to be with you today.
Well, it was kind of fun there, and I'm looking forward to further visits and conversations with you to just kind of talk about some of the mutual friends that we have and people that we know and so on. So it just shows kind of what a small world it is, isn't it?
Yes, and shrinking rapidly.
Well, no. If you're on our side, right? It's becoming smaller and smaller. It's harder and harder to take a stand. We could start with that. Why do you think it's so difficult for people to take a stand right now?
I think it's fear. I think that you know, our enemies, the people that are trying to destroy our country, our enemies, they've basically taken over our government, and they're kind of like the Wizard of Oz. They're sort of like we see in the movie where there's this giant, fearsome creature, but behind the curtain, there's just a tiny little man who really is nothing. And we don't see behind the curtain. We tend to look at what we can see on the surface as this big, imposing government that's controlled right now by great evil. And so I think that's the reason. I think that a big reason we think that we feel beaten. We feel like we can't resist. If we do resist, we risk our lives. And that may be the case, you know. And it may be partly, too, because we just don't want to pay the price to win our liberties.
Well, you know, Scripture talks about, you know, you have not yet resisted unto bloodshed, right?
Yes.
You know, and it seems as though the compromise, that's the thing that's just so frustrating to me, is the amount of compromise that we're seeing when it comes to the church as a whole. And some of it, I guess, that, you know, I've been really praying into where a lot of this is coming from. I think it's our seminaries, the teaching that is happening. But these pastors are coming out, and they don't know the word, and they don't believe in the full measure of the cross. They don't believe that Jesus actually did what he said he did, and that life can be transformed in the way that he told us it's transformed. They don't believe in the power of the cross. That's what I am coming to the assessment of. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because it's probably about the only thing that Karl Marx ever said that was true was that if you separate a people from their history, they are easily persuaded. And in many ways, I think the church has been separated from its history, both in the Bible and just in terms of temporal history in the last 2,000 years since the death of Jesus, since his resurrection. We've been separated. We've allowed ourselves to be separated from the glorious history of the gospel and what it did to transform nations, to transform lives and nations. So I think, you know, you mentioned universities. I think that one of the things that universities don't do anymore is they don't teach the true history of the founding of America, which is not about John Adams, Samuel Adams, George Washington, or any of those, Patrick Henry, any of this guy. It was really the pastors of that era who really frame the political worldview upon which this nation is founded. And the men we call the founding fathers were really educated by the pulpit of America.
You know, it's interesting, Bill, when you talk about that. I have interviewed some gentlemen that we've gotten into the conversation of the idea of inalienable rights and life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I've really, really come to cement for me that the John Locke concept, which I think is what drives a lot of this, is actually not in alignment with our founding fathers. In this sense, Locke said there's two hands holding out your rights. One is man, one is God. That wasn't what God did, and I don't think it's what our founders believed. They didn't say God's holding out rights to you. He said they're in you. He breathed life into you. He breathed liberty into you through Christ. He breathed that pursuit of abundant life and the fulfillment of everything that God has said. It says he's working in you to will and to do for his good pleasure, Philippians 2:13. Mm-hmm. So all of that is who we are, which is why then, you know, because you got to ask yourself, well, why would these fledgling guys, I mean, yeah, some of them were kind of wealthy, but they're nothing compared to the most powerful kingdom in the world in that time. Yeah. Why would they dare to say, I'm going to pledge my life, my liberty, and everything I own, unless they believe that somehow those two things were intrinsically connected?
Well, I agree. You know, you used the term unalienable rights. What that means, I believe, is that they are rights that are inherent to our nature as human beings. They're inherent in the nature of man, the way God made him. And so when they said they're unalienable, that means they can't be. They're inseparable from our humanity. And that is that the only way we can lose them is to die. And we don't even lose them then. If we know Jesus, we go to heaven, you know, and they're completely fulfilled there, you know, so,
amen.
Which I'm sure you know,
amen.
You know, we, even the right to defend our rights is something God has given us. And it's human nature to do that. And so in many ways, we've forgotten that. We think that somehow government has the right to separate us from our rights and impose its will on us arbitrarily. And it doesn't have that right. And not to resist it is to really cooperate with what the devil is trying to do to destroy us.
You mentioned about the involvement of pastors and ministers in the founding of this nation. There was a great awakening that was going on in the mid-1700s. How much of a role did that great awakening play in the birth of the United States of America?
Well, it really played a major role. It provided the spiritual impetus for the founding of America, for the American War for Independence. The pastor, it's early in the morning for me, so I'm
thinking, that's okay.
Not John Winthrop, but the pastor was a Presbyterian minister, and he traveled throughout the United States. He did
was
revival.
It George Witherspoon?
George is Whitfield.
Whitfield, George Whitfield. Yes. Okay.
Yes, and he was profoundly influential, and he actually trained many of the men that were we call the founding fathers. They learned from him in universities, and before the war, even you know, when the conflict was starting, I forget who it was. I think it was Horace Walpole who basically was commenting about his effect on the American colonies. He was Presbyterian minister, and he was talking to Parliament. He said, there's no use in crying about the matter. Cousin America's run off with a Presbyterian parson. And he had a huge impact on this nation. It was the spiritual the Great Awakening, which he was a major player in, that formed this nation, provided the ideological impetus for the forming of this nation.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm thinking of the minister who was very influential in Patrick Henry's life, I'll think of it in a minute, but he preached at a church in Virginia. Samuel L. I'm sorry, my brain is still waking up.
No, that's okay.
He was down in Virginia when he was a young man. Patrick Henry's mother would take him to this church to attend church. And listen to this pastor.
Okay.
And he was considered the prince of orators. I think it's Elliot. I'm just trying to think who he was. I'll find it here in just a minute.
Sure. While you're thinking about that, you know, I had Richard Lyons on last week, and as you were talking, I was thinking about, you know, it frustrates me oft times when we watch these, you know, films like World War II and different things, and they've really secularized so much of that. And I mentioned that to Richard as we were talking, and he got teary-eyed, and he said, you know, my uncle was killed on the islands of Japan fighting over there, but he wrote letters back home every week. And there wasn't a letter that he wrote back home that he didn't fail to mention God and God's divine hand in the battle that they were involved in. And you know, when America has been engaged in these battles, we really have been engaged because we understood that we were battling an evil.
Yes.
And unfortunately today, much of that evil literally resides within our own continental borders in the things that we're seeing happen.
Yes, it really does. And, you know, the truth is, you know, if someone, you know, the numbers of people in the church that have a biblical worldview has become frighteningly low. The
percentages. Minimal.
Yes. And yet it's a biblical worldview would say that there's two kinds of people in the world at any given time in history. The children of light, those who know Jesus, who have been born of God, and those who don't know him, who the Bible calls the children of disobedience. And what essentially the scriptures say about the children of disobedience, those who know not Christ, is that their motives and their behavior are actuated by the prince of the power of the air, who's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And so when people don't know Jesus and they're trying to lead in a country like they are today. We're living under government by the children of disobedience in this country right now.
Yeah.
They essentially do what their father, the devil, does. And right. They destroy things. They break things. They impose tyranny.
Yeah. Well, we're John chapter 6, right? What Jesus had to say even to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. You're of your father, the devil. And they were like, how dare you say that? And it wasn't that he was attacking religious tradition. It was that he was going after them because they had two sets of books. They had the books that they put the people under, and then they had the books that they kept. And that became very obvious in the conversations they had about why it was they needed to kill Jesus. They didn't kill Jesus because they knew that he was the Messiah or the Savior of the world. They killed Jesus because he was taking away their power. And that's the same issue that we've got today with regards to what's happening in our nation. We've got people who are abusing power. They're supposed to be there serving we the people, and they're serving themselves and those whose power is tied to theirs.
Amen. You know, I just remember who that pastor was in Paul Green, Virginia. It was Samuel Davies.
Okay.
He was considered the prince of orators. I'm diverting a little bit here. And
you're good.
And Patrick Henry's mother, she and Patrick would ride to church on a two-seat horse-drawn carriage on Sundays all the way to church in Paul Green, Virginia to sit. And she would seat him as a young boy at 12 years of age in the front row in Paul Green Church, where he would sit and listen to Samuel Davies, the Prince of Preachers. He did that until he was in his early 20s. And later in life, what's interesting, you know, we all know about the speech Henry gave in the Virginia House of Burgesses on March 23rd, 1770. I think it was either it was five or six, but he gave that liberty or death speech. And I think it was 1775. He gave that speech. And later in life, he attributed his incredible oratory skill to Samuel Davies, having sat in for so many years. So even Patrick Henry's speech was born of the Great Awakening. Davies was a Great Awakening preacher. And he was a notable figure in there in the American First Great Awakening. And just like
I want to bring us forward to where we are today. We've got about six minutes or so left to hit on this. The Black Robe Regiment movement, as I understand it, we talked a little about some of the people that I know that are affiliated and have been with that mindset, that worldview. George Barna is the guy who, you know, is kind of the father of the idea of the biblical worldview and where we get. He's a dear friend and love him. He's just a wonderful man. But relative to that, what can pastors be doing right now? What should they be doing right now? Because I think we can all agree, if we don't come back to God, if we don't have a revival in America, and we need a revival in America, we had Ashbury, we've had some things kind of kindle, but if we don't have a really serious revival in America, I don't see how we overcome what we're fighting.
Well, what we're calling pastors to do in America's Black Robe Regiment, and we have chapters now in about 24 states and a number of different counties around the country, what we're calling them to do is to lead their flocks by example in asserting their influence in local government. We're teaching that your flock is bigger than the people that come to your building on Sunday mornings. Your flock is the whole community, the entire community in which you live, your church exists. And you have a responsibility as leading a body of people that are the salt of the earth and in functioning as curators of the civil society, as of the local government. So you need to educate your flock on a biblical worldview. You need to teach them the principles that comprise a biblical worldview. Make sure that they're well educated in them, know how to behave in relation to government. And again, if we're the salt of the earth, we're the curators of society, we're the curators of our government. We're responsible for ensuring that the blessings of liberty are secured, not just to our own generation, but to subsequent generations. And so pastors need to lead that. They need to be courageous. They need to preach the whole counsel of God. They need to, what we're saying, we're calling them to do is to preach a minimum of one election sermon before every election, teach their people how to vote, what the basis of a sound vote is. I know that flies in the face of the Johnson Amendment, but, you know.
But the Johnson Amendment, I mean, if you talk to, you know, ADF and First Liberty and others, I mean, the Johnson Amendment really is unconstitutional, and it doesn't have real teeth. I mean, it's never really been enforced, per se. It's been threatened, but it's never been enforced. And churches, unfortunately, in my view, voluntarily have laid down their rights by becoming quote unquote 501c3s. There's a 508A IRS code that automatically exempts churches that's never been retracted, ever. Never been retracted. So a church is automatically tax exempt and separated. And it's not about, you know, oh, we don't want to pay our taxes. It has to do with control. It has to do with the freedom of speech and the ability to preach what the Word of God says. That's what it has to do with. Our ability to be able to say, no, I'm not under the government's thumb. I am a child of the King, and I am serving King Jesus and not King Tyrant. And that's really what that is about. And you know, the argument, the free church argument is that as soon as you become a 501c3, you've immediately said, well, now I'm changing masters.
Yeah. You've surrendered your right to preach the whole counsel of God in that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's a fear thing.
It is.
You know, it's a fear thing. And so I would suggest pastors remember that God's not given you a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. And when push comes to shove, and these cases have been tested in court repeatedly, over and over and over and over again, they've been tested. The facts are the facts. The government does not have that, no matter what they tell you, that First Amendment and the freedom of religion still stands, but if we don't watch it, it's going to get extinguished.
Right. If we don't resist arbitrary government or tyranny, then we will lose the rights. And, you know, I would dare say the government could pass a law. We could get 100% vote in favor of a law that said churches can't talk about politics. And it would still be our natural right to preach about politics, to preach about whatever God puts on our hearts in the pulpit. And so we need to understand that free speech is a natural right that comes from God.
Right. And let me just make sure to get this in on top of that as well, because this is something that I've had this argument with folks for 30 years. Here's the issue. They are the ones who are labeling what we say as political. Let's be very clear. I'm not, when I talk about the things that I talk about, I'm talking about the earth and the fullness thereof and everything having to do with it. Nations, national policy. There's not any piece of this that this book right here and the God of everything doesn't have something to say about those things. They're not political. They belong to him. They belong to him before man stepped in and tried to pretend that he had ownership over them. And when man steps in and pretends that he has ownership over them, he's stepping on God's toes. And I'm going to tell you what, God doesn't take kindly to getting his toes stepped on at all. And his mercy will only last so long, and then you will feel his wrath.
Amen. You know, one thing, Greg, I'm thinking about is, you know, the only natural rights that can be lost are the ones that we surrender.
Yes, sir.
Ultimately lost. You know, somebody may try to destroy us if we assert those rights, but the only rights that can be taken away are the ones that we give, the ones that we give away.
No doubt. We're going to run out of time here real quick. BRRUSA.org. You can see it on the screen. Yeah. BRRUSA.org. Black Robe Regiment. Again, my guest has been Reverend Bill Cook, the founder. And you want folks really to sign up, get involved, perhaps start a chat, you know, get pastors, encourage their pastors. That's one of the big things. Pastors say, look, I'm not going to talk about that because I'll lose my congregation or people will stop giving to the church or what have you. Just don't do that, folks. Don't do that. And find churches with pastors that are willing to speak about what's really happening in the world, not just some esoteric message that is just like has absolutely nothing to do with what you're going to do when you open your eyes and wake up and hit the ground on Monday morning.
Amen. Amen, brother. You know, if we're worried about losing our churches, we just need to keep being silent a little bit longer and we're going to lose everything.
Everything. No doubt. Reverend Bill Cook, Black Robe Regiment, BRRUSA.org. We've got a jumper. Bishop Leon's going to say, what happened? And I'm going to say it's Bill's fault. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. ChosenGenerationRadio.com. Get more there. And we'll have this up on the site in the show archives. We'll have our interview up with Reverend Bill here by the close of the program.
Tell Leon I said hi.
I'll do it.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. people don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Thanks so much for being with me. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here, watching and listening. You can always catch us at ChosenGenerationRadio.com and go to the listen link or the show archive link, or watch us live. And the video is on there as well. And we're across the social media and, of course, on TECN TV. Our good friend, Kenneth McClinton. All right. I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest. And don't forget, bottom of next hour, we will have, Zuni Duarte, who is Enrique Tarrio's mom, the mother of the former president and, one of the founders of the Proud Boys, will be with us. We're going to talk about what's happening to her son and the J6 prisoners as well. And if you want more information on that, I encourage you to go to AmericanGulag.org. American Gulag, they do a great job of keeping people up to date with the injustice that's happening to our country. And folks, they're after all of us. Any of us that are speaking for the Bible, for God, for the Constitution, we're living under a tyranny right now, sadly. But we can get it back. And my next guest is going to help us talk about how people of faith can be engaged in that process. I'm very pleased to welcome to the program a gentleman who's also running for office in Virginia, Bishop Leon Benjamin. Bishop Benjamin, welcome. Good to have you.
God bless you, Pastor Greg. Look, I ran for office in 2020 and 2022.
Okay.
I'm not running right now, so I wanted to make that clear. So, but we are helping the body of Christ, as you said, to get more civically engaged. I think there is an awakening that is happening, Pastor. So I am so glad to be on your show. And thank God for Brother Ken connecting us. And, you know, we're in the middle of, I believe, an historical time where we see the prophecies unfold in the Bible. But then people want to know what to do, because sometimes you can get what I call paralysis of the analysis, and people are just waiting for the Antichrist to come and waiting for Jesus to come. But we don't know how to occupy until he comes. And we definitely don't know what to do if we see the daggone Antichrist show up on the scene. So we got to give people a wisdom and instructions as far as where we are right now in these, what we call the end times or the last day.
We really have a situation to my, you know, as I just keep praying into this, and we look at, you know, the churches embracing perversion. And I mean, there are churches that are embracing abortion. I mean, it's insane, in my opinion, the anti-biblical belief systems that have invaded our church. But these pastors are coming with, I think, a compassion. They're trying to reach these people, and they have been convinced that the cross doesn't have the power to do it. They've been convinced that Jesus apparently didn't do enough, and so they accept the things that God says we're not supposed to accept on the basis of believing that it's compassionate to do so, rather than introducing them to the one who can transform them, old things passing away and all things becoming new. Do you feel like I'm on the right track in that thought process?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the theology of some of these pastors have caused them to fall short of the glory of God. The cross is not the end. And some get stuck at the cross, because the cross represents the death of sin, the death of the body of sin. But the resurrection represents the life of that body that is in that newness. And that is a righteous body. And that righteous body is able to delineate and look, tell the difference between good and evil, right and wrong. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, it says it was dark for a space of about several hours. So when he gave up the ghost, the cloud, it was dark. You know, that's the cross. But when he got up from the grave, oh my God, everyone saw him for who he is. And we're going to see him one day. That's why he told Thomas, oh, Thomas, you believe because you've seen, but blessed are they who believe who have not seen. So that is a strategy of the end time church, that we understand that there is an evil and there is a devil. There is sin, and we got to do something about it. And the remedy is not just the cross, but it's and we plead the blood, but we also have the life that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That gives us power from on high. And I'm getting excited.
Come
because
on.
Because now we're not afraid to die. I think a lot of these pastors, if you really want to ask them, are they ready to die? They're not. They're not ready to face true death. And this is what Jesus conquered in the resurrection, not on the cross. He conquered death in the resurrection. He says, I have been given power forevermore, all power has been given unto me in heaven and earth, and we are to take that power and go into all the nations and teach and make disciples. And this is where we play real good chess here, Pastor Young, because in chess, you don't stay on your side the whole game and go, hey, enemy, how are you?
Right, right.
Oh, that's...
yes.
Oh, that's a nice territory you have. Oh, wonderful. Well, I hope you have a great day, enemy. No, we engage the enemy. We cross enemy lines. We go into battle territory. We engage the wicked. We even love our enemies up close. We feed them if they're hungry. We clothe them if they're naked. And some pastors, they only want to preach to the choir. But no, we got to go into Muslim country. We got to go into Buddhist country. We got to go into atheist country with our chess pieces, knowing, come on, by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, just like Paul and Silas, where we ought to go, just like Paul and Barnabas. Look at all the different, you know, team matchups.
Well, and Pastor, if I might interrupt, but to the PowerPoint, right? The Word of God also says, and these signs will follow those that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Those signs and wonders should follow that as well. We're seeing that in Punjab, India. We've planted 1,200 churches in the last 4 years. And every one of our meetings, God has done a healing miracle work amongst those as they have received Christ and the Holy Spirit. We have seen miracle healings take place. I mean, major miracles, eyesight restored, deaf people hearing, lame walking, barren wombs suddenly giving birth to babies, cancers, tumors melting off. These are all the signs, and that's what Paul said, right? He said, look, I'm not coming to you just with eloquence of speech, but I'm coming to you in power. And I think the church has set that aside, and they're afraid because, well, I don't know if he's still going to do any of that kind of stuff. But absolutely, God's heart is to change your life, literally, completely transform your life. That's his desire. Just like a good father wants their child to have every blessing and every opportunity, God's not holding anything back from us.
Well, you know, the signs of miracles are it gives authenticity to a kingdom. And so in these other countries where, you know, you got poor life's standards of living, you have unclean water, you don't have the proper medicines. Well, over in America, we got all that good stuff. We got good clean water, we got good medicine, we got the best doctors. So what kind of miracles over here are going to show that the kingdom is here? How about taking back our electoral process? How about showing the LGBTQ that a real man is a male with a penis. I just got to say it.
And go. Testicles. Yep.
And a woman has a vagina. Okay. And showing that miracle. See, it's not going to be every country is different, but the kingdom is the same. And so when we show the miracles in a country like the United States, what does that look like? It looks like taking CRT out of the schools. It looks like putting fathers back into the home.
Come on.
It looks like stopping a woman who wants to abort her baby, who feels like she has no other option, but she sees an angel appear and say, like you said to Joseph, don't divorce the woman. Don't kill the baby. You know, we have to know that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And what that looks like in America may not look like the same in India or in a third world country. And we got to be bold enough to say, like they're doing over here now, protesting with the Palestinians and everything. Well, how about we show up and go back again and say, let the January 6th people go?
Amen.
That would be a miracle. See?
Yes, it would.
Because they're not expecting the kingdom authority to show up, come on, and to be present and get across that chessboard.
Yep.
And stop sitting over there.
Because we've got to remember whose territory it really is.
Whose territory
right?
is it?
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And Jesus pronounced, you know, I think part of the problem is that pastors have taken to this idea that they're waiting for the kingdom to come. They're waiting for something. Jesus right. said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent.
Yes.
Is at hand. He has released the kingdom to us. He has purchased the kingdom and said, now, what are you going to do? You know, that parable of the talents. And I think the church right now is operating like a one talent, right? And unfortunately, yeah. You know, I used to tell my church in California, look, there's going to be a long line. And not any one of those people is going to be happy when they get to the front of the line and they're told, oh, by the way, there's your exit, and it's going downstairs. There's not any one of them that's going to be happy about that, okay? You need to call them up, not placate them so that they end up going where they never wanted to go to begin with. It is a terrible injustice that we're seeing happen amongst our churches, and we watch the church cower in the corner, and sometimes, you know, even in the spirit, right? It's, oh, well, we're just in our walls, and we're just praising, and we're, and there is that, and we do praise, and we do worship, and we do change the atmosphere. But then once we have made those declarations and taken our authority in the realm of the spirit, now we need to go out on the street, and we need to act out what we just declared.
Yeah, how about seeing a whole crowd of people protesting Palestinians, and all of a sudden the power of God shows up, and now the people are weeping and repenting and saying, I want to give my life to Jesus. How about a scene where BLM is protesting, and all of a sudden the kingdom of God shows up, and all of a sudden people are dropping to their knees and saying, what must I do to be saved? See, this we had it after 2020. Stop the Steal was not normal. It was a kingdom thing. It wasn't normal to see millions of people going and protesting and going to Washington, D.C. That's not normal. Yeah. That's not normal. That was a miracle, because normally these people had jobs. Come on, they had to go to work. They had to take their kids to school. Where did they find the time all of a sudden to say something's wrong with our nation? And so it might not have been a healing of cancer. It might not have been a healing of diabetes or AIDS, but it was what our founding fathers secretly put in the Constitution. We behold these truths be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Amen. And have been given these inalienable rights. Come on, God inalienable rights. Amen. Amongst them are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Those are all miracles. If we understand, if we're going to keep life, if we're going to keep liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, it has to come from a kingdom that is not of this world.
Think about the miracle that took place that broke America loose. I mean, that piece of the puzzle is so much missing. They had a choice, and the preachers were saying, "Wait a minute, you are doing exactly, you are worshiping an idol. You are bowing down to an idol, and you are elevating man above God." And one of the chants of them was, will we serve King George or King Jesus? And America chose to serve King Jesus. And we are in that same place once again. We have this autocratic group that is saying, bow down and worship us. And it started with their whole evolution argument that they put into the schools. It began with that, by eliminating the creator and suggesting that we suddenly just crawled up and out of a swamp and there we are, the walking dead. No, we didn't. We were created. We were created by a being, by a loving God who has an incredible plan for your life, and he wants you to get on board with the plan that he has for your life, and he wants you to be free from all of that sin and the bondage of it. Sin is not fun. Let's be clear. Sin and fun are not synonymous. Sin is death. Sin is death. Death. It will leave you unfulfilled. That's the thing we have to clearly understand. And Jesus Christ came and he crushed sin. He crushed it. He set you free from it. You know, churches end up becoming clubs where people go and they join a group of people that all have the same problem. And then they all talk about the problem that they have and how sometime, somewhere in the future, maybe just possibly after I die, then things are going to get better. My God, who wants to join that club? Nobody wants to join that club. That's why churches are emptying. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, that is not the gospel. The gospel is not so that you can just come. And it's not condemnation. It's freedom. It's not even a conviction anymore. It is literally freedom in Christ. It is, look, I used to be this and now I'm not. Everybody says, oh, well, Jesus hung out with sinners. Yeah, he hung out with sinners. And guess what happened when he left? They weren't sinners anymore.
Look, the spirit of religion is the antithesis of the kingdom of God. And religion keeps moving the goalposts down the road. Someday, one day, oh, you're going to be healed one day. You're going to get that prosperity one day. No, the kingdom of God is now. Now faith is. And what happens is, this is why it's so easy for people to fall into tricks and gimmicks and you know, sideshows. You know, one evangelist said it like this: fog machines, skinny jeans, and LCD screens. Okay. You know, they just want to be entertained. Jesus was not an entertainer. He is a king. Oh my God. And he came to demonstrate what the kingdom of God is like all day. You know, amen. What happens all the time in the kingdom? It's natural. It's natural to be free. It's natural to have liberty. It's natural to have prosperity. You know, God gave us healing down here because he doesn't want us to come to heaven. He says, stay down here and be healed. We don't need you up here. I sent you here to be ambassadors of Christ, to show that there is an invisible God, hallelujah, that works through the invisible, oh my God, onto the visible. This was the plan of God, that he create a family in the earth that would play out his wishes, his desires, his plan, his, oh my God, his way of life.
Amen.
That's us. And the world is hungry for it. Everywhere me and my wife go, I love my wife, Maria, married 32 years. Okay. We both served in the military, Desert Shield, Desert Storm. We got three beautiful kids. And look, all of our children are afraid of God. They know that there is a God, and we got to get back to the family. And this is what AI and all of these people that want to propagate this critical race theory and all these things, LGBTQ, taking away our very authority as human beings. They want to propagandize that we don't need to be people who relate to each other anymore, who can think for ourselves. They want us to be all controlled by machines. It's like watching the Terminator, Pastor Young. I'm serious. I had to watch the Terminator the other day to figure out what the plan of the Antichrist is. He wants to rule by machines.
Yeah. Well, and you know, Jim Evans was talking about that from a fulfillment. There's a sermon out that he talks about the fulfillment of seven different prophecies to give us a concept of where we are. And one of the things that he talks about is AI. I had a guest on my program probably 6-7 years ago. And he said, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to predict for you right now, AI will be the greatest danger to mankind. Period. We're concerned about all these other things? No, you better be concerned about what AI is, because AI is literally the ability for man. It's the technocracy that my friend Patrick Wood has written about. Technocracy rising. They've been working on this since the 1800s. This is their goal, is to try to figure out using technological means for man to have complete and utter control, to usurp God. I can tell you this, though. The good news is it also tells us there's going to be a great outpouring of the power of God in these end days. Right here, right now, the power of God. And if you don't feel it, I'm telling you, Father, I ask you to release it right now in the name of Jesus Christ to every person that is watching this broadcast right now. Father, I ask you to touch them by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask you to draw them in, Father God. I ask you to give them an encounter with the risen Jesus Christ of Nazareth who came in the flesh. I ask you to touch them right now, Father God. Lord, we've talked about activity and action and faith without works being dead. I ask you, Father God, to light the fire, ignite the fire in them. And Father, yes, you are a God that heals. By his stripes we are healed. So Lord, whatever the issue, whatever the challenge, you are greater than the mountain in every life. You are greater than the sickness. I speak to those sicknesses now, even as Jesus Christ spoke to the fig tree that didn't produce fruit and said, because you didn't produce fruit in your season, die. I speak to the illness in that body right now that bears no fruit, and it is bearing no fruit, and I command it right now in the name of Jesus Christ, shrivel up and die. Shrivel up and die. Yes. You have no right. That is a blood-bought child of the Most High God that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father God in heaven, and you have no right to them. So in the name of Jesus Christ, I command that cancer, I command that sickness, diabetes, yes, leukemia, all issues of the blood, those issues of muscular dystrophy, those issues of spinal disruption, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak healing now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hallelujah. We bind every adversarial effect, yes, even of the vaccine.
Yes.
We reverse the curse. Even as Moses in the wilderness lifted up the serpent, he says, hallelujah, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. But Father, we thank you for miraculous healings because, yes, oh God, of that vaccine curse. Even as moral effects, we thank you in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage folks, there is at my website a prayer that our deliverance team created that we put together to reverse the effects of all vaccines. Because I don't care what vax you've taken. Every vax you've taken, Dr. Judy Mikovits and her team, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, a number of them have come out, Brian Artis, they've all talked about Peter Bergen, Peter McCullough, the vaccines they've discovered. But guess what? God can heal you. God can heal you. And you can go to the website and there is a prayer there that I encourage you. I prayed that prayer with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny a couple of years ago, yes, at a conference that I was at. And she had been infected by something at a Clay Clark event and had been sick for months. And God instantly healed her. Instantly healed her.
Wow. Wow. That is amazing. I'm telling you, God is bringing together a collective group of people who want to be used in miraculous ways. This is the kingdom of God, and so there's no competition. This is what I love about what you're doing, Pastor Craig, and I appreciate you so much, man. That's why we have what is called Be Alert News. We have a show on Brighty on every Monday at 10 a.m. and we talk about Be Alert.
Hallelujah!
We got to get people. We got to get people back to opening up their eyes to watch as well as pray, as Jesus said. Because if he comes back in the third watch or fourth watch, that's between 12 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning, a lot of people are asleep. But we got to be alert again. We got to watch as well as pray.
Glory to God.
I thank you for your prayer group. I felt the prayers as you were praying. And we're getting people to start to pray again like never before, Pastor Greg. And that's where the real power is coming now for this planet. And I'm telling you, I'm feeling a power as we're praying right now.
Amen.
That God is healing those people. God is removing situations out of the way. I mean, it is just amazing, especially
Amen.
Right now for Israel, what's going on right now.
Yep. And I got to jump off right now. Mayor David Rubin is waiting for me live from Israel, and we're going to go to him right now. Thank you, brother. And I sent you, by the way, that prayer as well as the video of me praying with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and what God did in that video. And I pray that you will be able to share that. Thank you, Bishop, for being with me today. What an honor. What a privilege. So appreciate you, my brother. Thank you.
God bless.
God bless you, sir. All right, we're going to take our break. Mayor David Rubin will join us on the other side.